Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 140 for September 26, 2010. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie continues his series titled One Month to Live. And this week he will be talking about living passionately for Christ. Enjoy.
Standing as we go to our text today. The title of our message is Living Passionately. Amen. You want to live passionately Amen. In your life? You live passionately for God? Amen. The text is found in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And Romans 12, verse 11. You should find us here. Good. In the message, Mark 20, 30 says, so love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And Romans 12, 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today, O God. Oh, Lord, we pray, O God, that you would help us to live passionately for you, O God, serving you, loving you with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and help us, O God, to live our life with zeal, O God, as if, Lord, our days are the last days we live. So, Lord, help us today as we look into your word. Anoint your people. Anoint your servant, O God. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I feel a little warm today. Somebody put on the aircon or, huh? Or I'll just take off my, okay. All right. We have just begun an exciting and a life-changing series we're calling One Month to Live. And I noticed that some people are not here. Maybe they're scared to hear this message. But instead of being scared, instead of being afraid, we should be set free. Amen. Amen. Because if we know that we have only 30 days to live, we will do the things that we need to do. We will say the things that we should say. Amen. And we will spend our energy on the things that are important. All right, so the title of our message today, or the first principle of a no-regrets life, is how to live passionately. How to live passionately. Now, nothing great ever happens without passion. You know that? The driving force behind every great work, work of art, work of literature, great music, great literature, great architecture, comes because of the passion in the heart of those people making those great work. And passion is what makes things great. Passion propels athletes to break world records. And passion pushes scientists to discover new cures for diseases. And passion is what gives life. It's what gives you life, what gives you vibrancy, what gives you zeal, what gives you the reason for living. Amen. Amen. And that is the kind of life that God has made us for to live, a life of passion. Amen. Now, let's look at our very first verse In Mark 20, verse 30, in the Message translation, Jesus said, so love the Lord with all of your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. In the NIV, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. That's what it's saying here. Now, circle the word passion here, because God wants you to love Him with passion. God wants you to live your life with passion. Can you say that to yourself? God wants me to live my life with passion. Now say this to the person next to you. God wants you to live your life with passion. Amen. God created you to be a passionate person. You are made with the capacity for passion because God is a passionate God. God feels things so deeply. All right? Now, regardless of your personality, you may be an extrovert or introvert. It doesn't really matter because God has made you passionate. Right? God made you to feel things deeply. I know some introverted person like myself, and they say, well, God did not make me a passionate person. Yes, He did. He made you to feel things deeply, regardless of your passion, personality, because He's a passionate God. Amen. Now, one of the reasons why we lose our passion in life is we forget who made us. We forget that we are created in the image of God. We forget who we are, that we're children of God. Now, if you realize that you're a child of God, that should make you excited, amen, isn't it? Amen. That would give you confidence in your life because you are one of the King's kids. Right? So one of the reasons why we lose our passion is because we forgot that we are created in the image of God, that we belong to God. The God who made you is an extremely passionate God, and He made you to be a passionate person. Now, sa Tagalog, ano bang passionate? Huh? Para jun? Maunawain? I don't think so. Huh? Maalab. Maalab. That's what it is. Mucho impacto. No, that's not what it is. Maalab. Mainit. With zeal, with enthusiasm, with energy. Say Locano, Brother Roger, Locano. Nakalimutan mo yung Locano. Hallelujah. But anyway, God wants us to be passionate. Maalab, mainit. Amen. Now, look at Romans 12:11. It says here, Paul is saying to us, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Amen. Now, circle the word keep here because it tells me that passion is something that you can lose. Amen. Passion is something that you have to keep. Keep. That's why Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Yes. Stir up yourself. You have to work at keeping your passion because you can lose your passion for the Lord. You can lose your passion for life. It's easy to give up in these last days. It's easy to give up. But God created every one of us to be a passionate people. But the problem is that life just tends to rub us out of the passion that we have. Life, the stresses of life, the pressures and the stresses of life sort of drain the passion out of our lives. But God says, be passionate. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Howard Thurman said this, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because what the world needs is people who have come alive. What the world needs now are people who are alive in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The church, a revived church, a victorious church, living for God, that does not compromise the truth, is what the world needs today.
Amen.
Amen. I love this quote because it challenged me to live a life with passion. But I have to admit that it's not easy. There's many times that it steals the passion out of my life. There are so many times that threaten to steal that passion for life. So I sort of gravitate to an overcrowded schedule. Maybe you do. It is as if that 24 hours a day is not enough for you. Isn't it? You want to do many things. And how many of you feel right now that you don't have enough time to get everything done by the end of the day? You raise up your hands. That's true, isn't it? And how many of you are just too tired to raise up your hands? Now, if you really live for life as though you had 1 month to live, you would rediscover your passion, right? You would rediscover that passion for life because you know that your time is limited. You want to do the things that are important, right? Now, Dr. Richard Swenson, in his book, Margin, says, margin is the difference between your load and your limit. The less margin you have in life, the more stress you will experience in life. It's like reading a book without any margin, without any space in between sentences. It's a mess. It's unreadable. So a life without margin is also incomprehensible. It's chaotic. But when I put a little margin in a book or something that I read or a space in my life, it all makes sense again. But most of us live our lives without any margin at all. Amen? We have no margin physically. So what do? We spend our life on things that are not very important physically. We don't exercise, right? We don't have enough rest. We don't eat right. What happens? We get easily sick, right? We don't have margin in our schedules. We crowd our calendar all the time. We don't have many margin in our finances. We don't save enough money. We spend it all. So we live from paycheck to paycheck. So we absolutely no margin in our lives, and we wonder why we feel so stressed and lose our passion in life. We are so busy with the details of life that we miss the things that are very important. Now, in the story in Luke chapter 5, gives us an example of how we should live a life that is filled with passion and purpose and determination to live the life that God wants us to live. So let's read this story. It is the story of friends who wanted to bring to Jesus their friend who was paralyzed. But when they were there, the house was filled with people everywhere. And yet the one who needed Jesus most could not get close to him. So let's read this story. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 18 to 20, 24 to 26. It says here, some people came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to make him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him and his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I like this story because we see here the focus and the determination and the intentionality of these friends who brought this paralyzed friend of theirs to Jesus Christ. Nothing was going to stop them and their goal of bringing their friend to Jesus Christ. And that's what the life that I want. Amen. Yeah. That obstacles and discouragement, problems should not cause us to stop serving the Lord. Amen. Yeah. But continue to persevere and serve God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds. That's why it says here, the people said, "We have seen remarkable things today," in response to the faith that was given by the friends of this man. And what would it take for us to say today, what a remarkable things happened today in our service? Amen? And I believe we can say that every time we meet here, every time we're here in the presence of God, we can say, what a remarkable thing God has done today. Because the people of God are passionate people in worshiping and loving God. Amen. So these friends were trying to get their friends to Jesus so he could be healed, but they ran into problem in verse 19. What it says, they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd. See? That is the worst thing about a crowded life. That is the worst thing that happens in your life if it's crowded. Why? Because what? It keeps me from being close to Jesus. When your life is filled with so many things, it keeps you from being close to Jesus. Amen? I can always tell that in my life, in my experience, when my life is too crowded with many things, what happens? I start to just going through the motions. My prayer life is cold, short. It's a routine. My serving the Lord is just a routine without that fervor, the love for God. And I begin to quit living passionately and just going through the motions, just existing, not really living. And that is probably the greatest sins of any congregation, including us. That is the greatest sin of our lives. Because we're no longer living passionately, we're just existing. The reason it is sin, because it keeps us from being close to Christ and having that intimate, abiding love relationship with the God who created us. Amen. So the crowd will keep you from Jesus. And a crowded life will keep you from Christ. So let's be careful there. So what we have to do? I have to stop what I'm doing and do what this man did to break through the crowd. So I want to challenge us with the four things that they did. And this will give us a life that will live passionately for Christ. Amen. What did the four men do? Number one, they did something drastic. So if you want to live passionately, do something drastic.
Yes.
And these friends did something drastic. In verse 19, as we have read already, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him and this mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. The crowd was keeping them from Christ, so they did something drastic. Isn't that something drastic? Going to the roof and taking out the tile and bringing your friend to Jesus in the middle of the crowd. Would you think that's drastic?
Yes.
Amen? We easily give up. But these friends were so persistent that they would do something drastic. So when your life gets overcrowded, you can't just do a couple of little things and expect your life to be changed. You can just make two or three alterations in your schedule and expect everything to be different. It does not work that way. You have to stop what you're doing and do something drastic, because we naturally gravitate to our old habits of an overloaded lifestyle. So our problem is not really time management. Our problem is really life management. Because when we know how to live rightly, we will find the right time for it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you know how to manage your life, you will have time. So if you're going to restore the passion in your life, you need to stop and ask the drastic question. It is the clarifying question that we want to repeat every day of our life. And the question is, if you knew you had 1 month to live, how would you live your life? If you live the next 30 days as if you were, if they were your last, I think you will know how to live, right? What would you do? What should you not do? So when people find out that they have a short time to live on this earth, they suddenly realize that what matters most are the important things, like relationships. Amen? Suddenly they are set free, and these are the things they had wished they should have said to their spouse, all right, or to their friends. They do the things that they have been planning to do for many years, but because their life has been busy, they've never got to know these things. And now guess what? When they know that their lives are limited, they'll make time, right? They will make time. Now they will ask forgiveness to those people they have offended. They will give forgiveness to those people who ask forgiveness. So in short, their lives are revolutionized, right? They see now the clarity of what God wants them to do. So they see the big picture. And if that's what happens to everyone, when they find out that their days are numbered, why don't you live this way right now? Why wait until we have only 30 days to live? We can live that same life right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We can live that same life right now. We can start living that life right now. And that is the point of these messages. That's the point of this series. What would I do if I have only 1 month to live? Now, if You know that you have only 1 month to live. There are two things that will happen in your life. I bet you. Right? Number one, first you realize what is really important. Isn't it? Right? This is the first thing that will happen in your life. And that's what exactly what happened to these friends. They realized what was important. They knew it was their last chance to bring their friend to Jesus and get healed. They'll probably have no other chance. So they knew that their time was limited. So when you know that your time is limited, you immediately realize what is important. So what did they do? They became creative. They went to the what? Top of the house. They tore the roof to get their friends to Jesus. They did whatever it took to get him to Jesus. Now, when they were tearing the roof, they were not thinking in their mind, probably, that they're going to pay this roof. But they didn't care because it was just a roof anyway. The roof could be replaced. But their friends could die. So many of us get stuck on the roof and we worry about all the stuff that is not going to last. But these friends, they did not stop and think how they're going to pay for the roof, right? Because the important thing that had to be done right now, because the time was limited, was to bring their friend to Jesus. This man put their friend over the roof and they realized that that was important, more than the roof. What's why? Why? Because they were passionate about it. All right? Secondly, if you're going to start living this 1 month to live lifestyle, what else do? You remove the obstacles. Not only you know what is important, but you remove the obstacles. You decide what is important, then you cut out everything else. These friends removed the roof that was an obstacle and they remove it. And we need to do the same thing in our lives. We need to do some drastic things to remove the things, the obstacles that causes, that hinders us to get into a close relationship with Christ. Amen. There may be 20 different things in your life right now that you want to do. But if you really want to focus on a life that is make a difference, you have to focus on only a few things so that you can be good at it. Amen? And how do I choose what is really important? How do I choose what should I focus on? How should I choose what I should I focus on? And the important thing in your life, the things that you would focus on, and if you know that your time is limited, are not the things that somebody said, come with bells and whistles. Bells, what are bells? All right, reward. Or whistles, deadline, right? So many times the things that are really important is the things that are unnoticed in our lives, right? They were not being praised about. It's like spending a time of coffee with your spouse, right? Spending time with the kids, tucking them to bed, those who have little kids, and praying for them when they go to bed. So figure out what is really important in your life and cut out everything else that are not very important, that doesn't matter most in your life. Amen? And what are the things that are really important? Again, I said relationships. Leaving a legacy, leaving an impact in your family. All right? Saying the right things to them. And you haven't done that for some time, it's time to do it now. Amen? All of you are quiet. Amen. So do something drastic in your life. Change your lifestyle. Realize what is important and what? Remove the obstacles, the hindrances that gives you a close relationship with God and close relationship with your family, with your friends, with people. Amen. All right, number two. Expect the unexpected. You prioritize your life based on what is important. You plan. You come up with your plan, but things don't always go as planned. Right? Life are filled with interruptions. Okay? And there will be always things that come into your life that will be crazy and hectic, unexpected things. So what do you do when that happens to you? Well, what you do is that you say to the Lord, Lord, I'll give this into your hand. I give it to you. I know you are in control of everything. And the greatest problem that we as Christians have from surviving a busy schedule is trying to control every little thing, every detail in our lives. What should I cook today? Ano bang mga tinatanong natin sa buhay natin? The little small things. Really, if you try to control everything, you are really what? Blame God. Yes, I need to plan. I need to prioritize. But when my plans get messed up, I have to realize that God is ultimately is in control. And that is what happened to these friends. They brought their friends to Jesus. They made their plans. They knew that Jesus would be there. They had a perfect plan to get their friend healed. But when they get there, they realized that they did not go as planned because they did not plan on a house that was filled to capacity and they could not go into the house. They did not plan on a house that was packed. And there was no way that they could get to the front of the door, so there was no way that they could get their friend to Jesus. So these friends could have said, well, let's give up. Let's go home. They could have said to their friends, well, friend, we've tried our best. We've tried every effort, but it's not going to work out, so let's just go home. Did they say that? No, they did not say that. They did not do that. And that's what passion does in our lives. Amen? When we are passionate in serving God, when we are passionate in loving people, there is a way. There is another way. God will give us wisdom. God will give us direction. God will make us creative, amen, and give us another way so that we can fulfill the purposes, the plans that God has given us. So they did the unexpected thing, and what did they do? They tore off the roof. And in response to their faith, Jesus also did an unexpected thing. Right? Look at what Jesus did in verse 20. He said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. What was the man expecting? He was expecting to be healed. Right? The whole reason why his friends brought him to Jesus, why they bothered all, going up to the roof and tearing the roof, was for their friend to get healed. But what Jesus did was totally unexpected. And he received unexpected. Jacob said, Lord, said Jesus, I did not come here for me to forgive myself. I came here to get healed. But he did not say that. He just received what God, what Jesus gave him. And we need to learn how to receive the unexpected, because Jesus knew what is best for this man. And the same thing in our lives. We have to receive the unexpected thing that God wants to give us, because God knows what is best for us. More than we know what is best for us. And the best thing that he did for this man was first to forgive his sins. And of course, secondly, he was healed of his paralysis. Amen? Amen. So when we come to that place where we make our plans, we decide what is important, we prioritize, but when life interrupts us, we say, God, you know what is best for me. I just submit to your will. I put my trust in you. I don't want to control anything, but you are in control of everything. Amen? See, the problem for many of us is that when we make our plans and our plans does not pan out as we plan, what we do? We get stressed out, right? We get frustrated and we lose that passion. We lose that passion for God. We get discouraged. And in the same way in my life, when I'm stressed out and worried and frustrated, it's just a warning for me that I've been trying to control everything in my life instead of God letting control of every detail of our life. So when God interrupts our life, we have to what? Submit to the interruption, because God has a better plan for us. Amen? Yet God has something better. You look at this. Initially, they thought it was not of God, isn't it? When the guys got to the packed house and it was so crowded, it just looked like a problem. It was a problem. But don't you know that problem was an opportunity used by God? Yes. To do a miracle? Yes. Amen? They began to change their plans. As I said, they became creative. They did not give up. So we have to realize that God is going to do things in our lives that are not expected. Because God is an unpredictable God. Unpredictable God. We cannot put him in a box. You know how many ways God healed the sick? The blind eyes. One time he spit in the mud and what? Applied it to the eyes. One time he just laid his hands and they got healed. So you cannot put God in a box. So be willing to accept God, what God wants or what God does in your life that are unexpected. Because he's unpredictable. So we have to allow him to do those things that are unpredictable and say, God, you know what you are doing. You know what is best. I trust you. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm just going to walk in faith and trust in you. And you just move on. And do the third thing. And what is the third thing? Number three, create God space. In verse 19 again, it says, they lowered him and his mat into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Now, underline that phrase there, middle of the crowd. Right there, in the middle of the crowd, they created a space that wasn't there so that their friends could meet Jesus Christ. In the same way, in the middle of our crowded and over-scheduled lives, we have to create a space intentionally to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We have this old saying, this habit of saying, sa Tagalog, sakana. Manana habit. When things settle down, when things are good, when I'm not too busy, when I'm get retired, when I'm get money in the bank, I will read my Bible every day and pray every day. Huh? Mañana habit. We have to realize, brothers and sisters, that if we are not doing the important things right now, they are never going to be done. Amen? We have to realize that if we are not doing the important things right now, they are not going to be done. And we can learn from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ how he handled this problem of meeting with the Father, this prayer life. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 38, it says here, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went up to a solitary place where he prayed. So if you want to have a good prayer life, you have to get up, right? Leave the house and go to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." So even Jesus Christ, who is God, created a space in his life, in his schedule, so he could meet and talk with his Father. With his Father. Now if you look at this chapter 1, it says that the night before, the Bible says that he prayed for the people who were sick after sunset. So his schedule was so busy, but he intentionally made or created a space in his schedule to meet with God, his heavenly Father. And the disciples came running up to him and said, "Jesus, where are you? Everybody is looking for you." You know what they were saying? "Jesus, there are so many people who are in need, and you are not there. You are disappointing people. You need to hurry and meet their needs. There are some women and children and sick people, and they are tired. They walk a long way. They are expecting you, and you are disappointing them because you are not there." Jesus knew what was important in his life. And what was important is what? To meet with God, the Father. To leave the crowd, separate himself, and to spend time alone with the Father. And I believe the greatest thing, the most productive thing that we could do in our lives is to meet with God. More productive than meeting with people. Because you will not be effective unless you have met with God. Because you can only give something that you have. Amen? Because ministry is an overflow of what the Lord has done in our lives. Amen? So Jesus knew what was most important in his life, and he has to make a decision. So the secret to maintaining your passion in a crowded life is what? First, to meet with God. Amen? And if there's anything we need to do, is to have our time with God. If nobody else is pleased, we need to please God first. And when we focus on pleasing God, our priorities will become crystal clear, and we live a life with passion. Amen. So when we're stressed out and confused with all the needs and things surrounding us, we need to get alone with God. Amen? Amen. Turn the TV off. Turn the Facebook off. Yeah. than to email thee. Yes. Amen. The radio, everything off. And he spent time with God. Amen. Yes. Just reading the Word of God, listening to what God is telling you. Amen. Recording what he wants you to do. His teachings. Just praying. Spend time with the Lord. And you say, God, Lord, I cannot handle the problem today. Please let me know what to do. Amen. And you know what? When you do that, your days will become more productive. Amen. He will reveal his plans to you. And he will give you that peace that passeth understanding, and everything will fall into its proper place. Amen. That's why Proverbs 10 verse 27 in the Living Bible, it says, reverence for God adds hours to its day. Do you need more hour? Do you need more time in your day? Put God first. God is the great multiplier. There is enough time in the day to do or to get everything done God wants you to get done. There is enough time in the day to get everything done that God wants you to be done. And the other thing is that there is not enough time in your day to get done what everyone wants you to do. Isn't it? So focus on what God wants you to do. So when I begin to please him, it is amazing how he multiplies my time. Amen. So just get along with God. Amen. And everything will take care of itself. Amen. Make that a priority. Okay, number four. Keep a constant reminder. To live passionately, keep a constant reminder. We need to keep a constant reminder because we so naturally go back to our old habit of what? Crowded life. Look at what verse 5:24 says. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Now, if you look at that phrase there, it's interesting because Jesus did not say to the man, get up, take your mat, and throw it in the garbage. Have you ever thought about that? He did not say that. You don't need that mat anymore. Throw it away. Throw it in the garbage. No, Jesus did not say that. He said, get up, take your mat, and take your mat home with you. I think that's what he was saying here. I think Jesus was saying to the paralyzed man, let it be a reminder to you the day that you have overcome the crowd and got close to me. Let it be a reminder to you of how your friends took the time to bore a hole in the roof because of their faith, because of their love for you, because of their passion for you. And because of that, you receive a miracle. So it's a reminder. And so probably the man went home and he placed the mat in his living room. And whenever he saw the mat, he would remember and he smiled that he said, Matt, I don't need you again. Right? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
See there? So we need a constant reminder to live this month, to live a lifestyle. We need a reminder so that we can live a passionate life every day. Amen.
Amen.
And how do we do that? First, again, you need to ask that clarifying question in your life every day. What would I do if I have only 1 month to live? I mean, it's not to scare us, but to prioritize our priorities, right? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. And Pastor Gary Chuk, who gave this series, wrote a book, and it says, I would suggest that you would read one chapter a day on the book. And the other thing is, there is a website there that he gives so that we can be reminded of the helps that could encourage us. And he suggests that we should wear that bracelet. Oh, Brother June is wearing it. 1 month to live to a life of no regrets. And that is one way to remind yourself, oh, brother. And that's a good evangelistic tool. When you go to the hospital or work, what is that? And you have an opportunity to witness. Ask them the question, if you have only 30 days to live, what would you do? How would you live your life? All right? And another thing you could do is join the Bible study. If you cannot join us, create one. Bring people to you and tell them what the thing is. Amen? All right? So that's a constant reminder of how we should live passionately for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I love the phrase in this passage when it says, immediately, in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. The word immediately speaks to us today because we want us to do it today. We want to start living that way today, not tomorrow, not next month, but today. He wants us to start uncrowding our lives, remove the things that are not necessary, so we can restore that passion, amen, for God. So you want to start asking that question today, what do I need to change in my life so that I will have no regrets? And that is our goal, really. That's our goal, to live a life with no regrets, amen. When it says immediately, we should say it now, do it now, give it now. The things that you're supposed to do, don't postpone it. Do it now. Amen? We would not put off things any longer. We would say the important things we need to say. If you need to say to your husband or your wife, I love you, do it now. Yes. Amen? Yes. If you want to do the thing that... that acts of service, do it now. If you want to give that gift, Brother Tony, do it now. Sister Cecile is waiting. As I told you, the five love languages, right? Words of affirmation. Napa, works of service, physical touch. If you haven't kissed your wife for a long time, do it now. Amen. Quality time. Don't postpone it. Amen. If you haven't asked for forgiveness from somebody that you have offended or... do it now. Don't wait. Amen. If you need to forgive, do it now. Do it now. Then you will not regret your life. Amen. Well, you can live passionately for God. Amen. You can live passionately in your life. And this is the kind of lifestyle that God wants us to live. A life full of what? Purpose. Full life of peace. Life of fulfillment. Not crowded and rushed. All right? But the fullness and peacefulness that comes from a life well lived. And I'm convinced that there is only one place to start. And it starts with your relationship with God. Amen? And when God is with you, He will give you that peace and fullness. That's why Psalms 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I love that song. Still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted on the earth. Maybe today you've forgotten who you are and whose you are. Life has been so crowded and rushed that you can't even remember what is important or why you are even living here on this earth. The way to start remembering is to be still and remember who God is in your life. Amen. And as we close today, while there are so many people here, you can put yourself in a space of your own, forget everyone else. And just be still in the presence of God. Amen? Amen? Because God is in control of every situation in our lives. Amen? The same chapter, Psalms 46, in verse 1 says, "God is a refuge and a strength and ever-present help in trouble." Ever-present help in trouble. And Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." In the midst of trouble, in the midst of problem, you can go to that tower. That strong tower, the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, the righteous run into it, run to Jesus. And you will be safe. Amen. You will experience His protection, His blessing, His peace. That's why Jesus says to us, to everyone who is burdened, He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in your heart, and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amazing. Jesus shares your burden. Amen. So life becomes more easy in the presence of God. So living passionately starts with having a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Having an intimate relationship with Christ. But you have to take the things that we have said already. To summarize, do something drastic. Do something drastic. Realize what is important and remove the obstacles that are preventing you from getting close to God. Number two, expect the unexpected. Your plans may get messed up, but God does something new that's unexpected and something that's even better. Amen. Thirdly, create God's space. Separate yourself from the crowd. Spend time alone with God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And fourthly, keep it a constant reminder of how you got close to Jesus and what a miracle had done in your life. Amen. And get back on your focus of living a life that is passionate, a life of no regret. Ask yourself daily that clarifying question, what would I do if I have 1 month to live? Amen. So let's stand up together.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled Living Passionately. And that is a second part of a series, 1 month to Live. If you would like to join us for a Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our Sunday morning service starts at 10:45 a.m. You may reach us by phone. Our number is 773 888 3392, again 773-888-FFWC. And our email is contactus@FFWCChicago. And you can check us out online, on our podcast online, or our website online at FFWCChicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.